Fantastic episode here for you today. Kendrick Bourne on a variety of topics for almost 30 minutes. If you're listening, I'm just going to tell you made a great choice. We are going to get to him in a second, though, because as happy and optimistic as you'll hear Kendrick about next season and his recovery, is he going to be at minicamp in June? And in the Patriots and his free agency and everything that went on, I know a lot of you listening to this are not as optimistic about the New England Patriots, have treated free agency largely, as Mike Giardi last put it, a way to run it back with a core from a 4-13 team. I don't think that's an entirely fair way to characterize what the Patriots have done. But if you are hung up on Calvin Ridley, who signed with the Titans for 4 years, $92 million, $50 million of which was guaranteed, I absolutely get it. I asked for mailbag questions this morning and yesterday. I'd say 90% of them were just venting about the state of the Patriots. Totally fair. I want to make clear. I wanted the Patriots to sign Calvin Ridley. I thought it was good business. They, at that price tag, which, let's be clear, $23 million puts him per year in the top 10 all receivers. Total value, top 10 for all receivers. Guarantees puts him in the top 10. So he's being paid like a receiver. He is not. The market will change. But if the Patriots wanted him, they could not have merely matched that contract based on everyone's favorite topic around free agency, income tax, okay, as well as cost of living. Now, that would mean going to $25 million a year. Let's just say it roughly, generally. If you're comfortable with paying $25 million per year for Calvin Ridley and going upwards of 50, maybe more million in guarantees, as Mike Giardi was last episode, great. That's where it ends. This stinks. I'm not going to argue with you, okay? It's totally fair to feel that way, given the history of the Patriots, their needs, etc. I understand why they didn't make that offer, okay? And I outlined a lot of this in the last episode. Again, it's in the first, I think, 15, 20 minutes, which you already, if you want to listen to the reasons why you would be hesitant for that, I would just go back there. We're not going to spend too much time here. What I will say, though, that is new is this. The Patriots cannot whatsoever, unequivocally, stand pat with this receiving core. Because just as they did with DeAndre Hopkins 8 months ago, when the Titans also outbid them for a borderline number one receiver, they have one of the worst receiving cores in the league. And yes, they can add to this in the draft. Where famously, everyone, whenever you tweet about the draft, will remind you, there's no guarantees. Yes, folks, that's the draft. But even though Hollywood Brown, even though Tyler Boyd, even Odell Beckham Jr. is not Calvin Ridley, Calvin Ridley also not Mike Evans or Michael Pittman or T. Higgins or actual number one receivers, they will improve. One of them could. The current receiving core, which you cannot win in the modern NFL with. That being said, and I the Patriots need to add in free agency in the draft. That is my full take, full stop, period, end of story. I think everyone needs to take a deep breath and reset expectations will be for next season. Because frankly, I just assumed we were all on the same page that this Patriots team coming up in 2024 is only going to win about six, maybe seven games and probably less. We'll see what the Vegas over-under is set at, which nailed the Patriots last year, by the way, at about 6.5, and they came in at 4. Disaster of a season, some bad luck, sure. But as the folks say, Vegas knows. So what I'm saying here is the goal is not to win immediately and as much as possible in 2024. This is a long-term vision, which is what rebuilds are about. Rebuilding is a long-term plan, 2, 3, 4 years down the road. If you have a great rebuild, it'll be like the Lions, who did this in 3 years and made the NFC Championship game, okay? They were smartly not all in, and I get they have a ton of cap space. I get they have a lot of draft capital. But the Patriots also retained a lot of their young core players, which Elliott Wolf told you he would do. So again, this is not to dismiss your frustration. I feel a little bit annoyed that they've not done any kind of big splash, and it's been very quiet. But all of the deals they've done make business sense in terms of value, in terms of positionally. Now, they should add a receiver or left tackle here in free agency. Again, go sign Tyler Boyd. Go get Marquise Hollywood Brown. Even if it's not ideal, that ship has sailed and that ship was Calvin Ridley. You still need to add. I expect that they will. Hopefully it's one of those names or someone of the same caliber. We will see. In the meantime, that's my unofficial answer to all the mailbag questions, by the way. I'm sorry. We'll get to more of them next week. Kendrick Bourne is coming up. And on the back end, a new guest, Jordan Boss, our third fan guest, where you get a 5, 7, sometimes 8 minute segment of your own on this podcast if you A, ask a mailbag question, and B, show proof of donation to Boston Children's Hospital. It can be as little as $1. You heard me say a million times, every single dollar counts. So if you want to be on this show, reply to my Meg tweets with a question and a screenshot of your donation to Boston Children's, or email me with the same information, your question, and then proof of receipt. Now, I might open this up to some other charities because we've got a couple people backlogged, but we might run out of them in a couple of weeks where things have slowed down. That's fine. All money going to charity is good money. But for now, we have Kendrick Bourne. We have Jordan Boss. And I would just say, everyone, it's going to be a long road and a long rebuild. Might be underwhelming, totally fine. But I promise you, you will feel better at the end of this conversation with Kendrick Bourne, which, heads up, his audio cuts a little bit in and out. Never for a long period of time. That's annoying to me. It's a pet peeve. But just, again, through it, the rest of free agency. In this interview, Kendrick was great, and we're not going to wait anymore. Here he comes. All right, one of the people's favorite Patriots on the podcast for the first time, Kendrick Bourne, making his Pats interference debut. He's back in his native Portland. He's got a fresh three-year contract to stay in New England. He told everyone that he wanted to stay, and he did. But Kendrick, I want to start in the obvious place here because you are not alone in Portland. You're working out at Nike headquarters, Bailey Zappi, Tyquan Thornton, Pop Douglas. There's a video that you posted that made me wonder, what are you feeding Tyquan that he could stay in Portland and have a career as a bouncer? The man looks massive.
He's just eating, man, eating, lifting weights. He's trying to get to like 200 pounds, just build his durability, something we've been working on. He signed with the same agency as me. And so it's been dope to just, you know, get closer with him. Just give him advice on how to, you know, have longevity in certain things as a leader, trying to be a leader, a better leader for young guys, and just being a leader for my team, you know what I mean? Being an example, and also being a vocal leader, working on being more vocal, and just telling him those little things, you know, that'll be good for him. So he's been lifting, man. He was lifting before he actually got here. And so he came in looking really big, and I was just proud of him, man. I'm like, bro, this tells me that you're locked in, bro, and you want something out of this year. So just proud of that guy and the progress he's made so far. So we've just been working, and I just got to keep it going.
Yeah, I like it. All right, we got a lot to get to. Setting aside Tyquan's weight gain, which, look, good for him. I think everyone sees the talent. You want to see it flourish. And you're a guy who, you know, understood what it took to thrive in the NFL a little bit later in your career. So that sounds like a good situation for him to be in. But you are staying in New England because you agreed last Sunday, 3 years, $19.5 million contract. Take us through what you were thinking earlier that day about whether a deal would get done or not, when you got the call that it was done, and then what'd you do next?
So me and Henry, obviously my agent, he just keeping me up to date about what's going on and where the numbers are at, what we're looking for, what makes sense. And so kind of just in the unknowing in a sense, but at the same time, just kind of in the loop. So not really stressing, knowing what I'm worth, but also knowing that, you know, that's somewhere I wanted to be. So if that's what the Patriots like felt was worth, what I was worth, then I was okay with that, you know, just negotiating. And so I was really in the unknown, not really calling and stressing, Henry, what is going on? Da, 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 da. I'm just being calm and, you know, just going through my normal day. And then later on that day when he called me and, like, gave me the final numbers that they kind of agreed on and Henry thought was fair, you know, on our side and their side, he ran it down to me and I was just like, nah, I like the deal. You know, I'm not really chasing $1 billion. I'm really chasing, you know, the legacy. And I've been watching Dynasty lately and just love the story the Patriots have, obviously, and want to build something like that, be a part of something like that. So when he told me the numbers and how we agreed, it was definitely heartwarming, man. And it's just time now, you know, the path is set and it's time to get to work.
So it's funny you mentioned the Dynasty, because I talked about that with Dev last week. And you think it's for the former players, right? Like, they lived it, they were in it, but I never thought of it as this indirect recruiting pitch. Like, stay here. Watch the doc in the meantime while negotiations are going on. It seems like it had an imprint on you. What do you think of it so far?
It does, bro. It's just impressive. It gives you the insights. You know, it's just, it goes deeper. There's a lot that goes on within the organization. I feel like they've given an insight of what people haven't really seen or known. It's kind of a deeper insight. You know, we know all know how Bill is of being secretive and not wanting people to be let in. And I think it was good for what's about to happen. I think it's going to be more open with Gerard, you know, and I'm excited. And it's just, it's just crazy timing for me to be on Bill's last team and now to be coming back and to just be a part of the new culture, whatever may happen. We don't know. I don't know. No one knows. We have to see, obviously. But it's exciting to be a part. And that was one of the biggest triggers for me to come back was because I believe that it's going to be very fruitful being a Patriot, you know, in this new era. So love Bill to death, as we all know. I definitely do. But it was time, man. And I want to be a part of Gerard's, you know, legacy and to see what's to flourish.
All right, we're going to get to a lot of that because you are open from the get-go. If we were co-hosts right now, you would think we were teammates for a year because you're setting me up left and right. But I got to ask you the questions about your ACL, right? Because before you can contribute to whatever that culture is going to be, before you have your eyes set on more championships or whatever, like you have to get on the field. And I've been reporting, talking to people close to you, that you're ahead of schedule. This is all very good news. What do the next couple months look like for you? Because you'll have mini camp in June. What are your next checkpoints? Like, when are you running? When do you expect to be 100%? What are you looking at?
That's a good question. So this month, next month, I'll be running. So right now, I'm just building up strength, building my quads back up, building the muscles around my knee, glutes, to all help my knee, you know, just get the stress off. Thank God it wasn't a contact injury. I mean, non-contact injury. So it wasn't my running mechanics, which is a blessing. It was contact. So it wasn't nothing I was doing wrong mechanically. So those steps that I'm taking are good. Everything is kind of back to normal in a sense. It's just relearning how to break down. So my biggest thing is I can run right now. I can run full speed. I can jump. It's just the landing. It's the stopping that I'm really focusing on right now. So this first 4 months was really good for me. I really attacked it head on with my guy, Alex, from Dr. Andrews. He came out here from Florida and he's been helping me. And so this first 4 months I really attacked and I can tell that I am ahead of schedule. Like, I would honestly say if I wasn't, like, if it sucked, and it's, but it's been very positive. And so my plan is to be ready, just to be rehabbing all through mini camp. You know, the Patriots are going to have me on a routine and I trust their process. I trust what they're going to do. So this first 4 months was all up to me and how I attacked rehab. And then going to a team, you know, being around the guys is going to help me so much more. Competing, you know, just getting motivated, being around, the energy is, I feel like it's going to take me to pass that next step of recovery. So mini camp, I probably won't be a part of mini camp. OTAs, I probably would not be a part of. I would be on the side doing my own thing. Mini camp, I'm saying mini camp. OTAs, I won't be. But mini camp, I'll be primed and pretty much ready. And then real camp, I'll be ready to go. So doctor gave me the full go, which is exciting. So that is the plan. And I'm looking to be out there. So I'm really excited, man. I'm trying to get comeback player of the year, baby.
Comeback player of the year. I love it. Okay. So just to be clear, mini camp in June, you're aiming to run and be a full participant. I know the team's going to have some sort of say, and training camp is the bigger deal, but that's your goal right now?
Exactly. So I was sorry to confuse you guys. OTAs, I will not be really out there, obviously, but then mini camp, I'm priming. That's when I should be most primed up, getting ready, kind of rechanging the oil, you know, getting it going. And then, training camp, I should be full go. So I'm excited for that.
All right. We're being real for a second. You missing OTAs, it's not that bad, right? Oh no.
Not that bad. And so that's a good point. Like, so getting close with Alex, you know, trying to get the playbook, knowing what I'm doing, you know, kind of being around. I'm not going to not be present. You know, I want to be there because it's a new offense, our fourth new offense in 4 years for me. So it's kind of crazy, but, you know, just attacking it head on. It's a challenge. And just staying close to the coaches, the players, and knowing my role once I'm able to get back out there so I'm not behind or anything like that. So more mental thing for me right now. And then when I'm ready to go, you know, putting it all together. So, not too bad.
Mental reps is what I was getting. It's not so bad. You guys want to run and work out and go nuts in April and May? Like, yeah, that's cool by me. I got to stay here. Exactly. Doctor's orders.
exactly.
So when we talked to your new offensive coordinator, Alex Van Pelt, a couple months ago, and maybe it was last month, he said, it'll be mostly the Browns offense, but I need to wait and see what offensive linemen I have, what receivers I have to kind of build the rest of it out. And I'm curious what you think the offseason has been like so far, because most of the moves have just been to retain guys like Mike Onwenu, you know, you're back, Hunter Henry's back on defense, Kyle Duggar, Josh Uche, DP gets cut, T team misses out on Calvin Ridley, what do you make of the roster that will obviously set up the offense and whatever the season's going to be ahead?
I think we have the pieces. I feel like we've had the pieces for the last 4 years. And I think Alex is going to put it together a way obviously nobody has. So I'm excited to see, you know, how he operates. I love Cleveland's offense. I loved how they did things. Elijah Mitchell, not Elijah, what's his name? The receiver.
Elijah Moore.
Mitchell. Yeah, so he kind of, you know, went for the Jets over there and kind of like had a better role. Like Alex knew how to use him, unlike the Jets did. Not to make it about him, but that shows me that Alex knows how to use strengths. He knows how to use traits that we carry as players. So I like what he's saying. He has to wait to evaluate. He's not just going in there saying, I'm going to put Bourne here and Tyquan here. Like he knows. No, he has to see. He has to evaluate. He has to see us in person, see how we run, see what we're good at, the skill sets. Pop, you know, Pop has a special skill set that I feel like he's going to show the world more than we saw last year. So just those different tools that he'll put together for us to be a good offense. And, you know, obviously the draft and stuff is different too. So it all has to come together. And I like how he answered that question because he doesn't know until we all can come together. So that's a pretty good answer. And it sounds like a logical answer.
Logical is good. You know, sometimes we haven't had a whole lot of logical the last couple of years watching the New England Patriots offense, which I will say, and you can stay silent. Have you talked with AVP though? Have you talked with Alex?
So I met him. So when I came out there recently, ran into him in the hotel. So I stayed at the Renaissance and I ran into him, TC, and I think it was the O-line coach. I didn't know who the O-line coach was. Scott, yeah. So
he looks like one. Scott Peters is not like your accountant. This dude played offensive line. He has his own gym, like massive dude.
He was massive. I shook his hand. I was like, yo, who are you? But it was cool. So yeah, I met him all, ran into him. It was kind of God ordained, man, how I ran into him. And I was just excited to see him and just chopped it up with him, introduced myself. And that was my first time meeting him. And then when I went in the next day, I went to his office, chopped it up with him, and he just was excited too. All the guys were excited. Just bringing my energy in there, man. They could feel my energy, as a lot of people do, which is a blessing and a trait I carry. And so it was dope to break the ice early before, you know, just coming out there. And so kind of getting known. So now I'm going to connect with him again now that I'm, you know, on the team officially. So I'm excited.
Yeah. It's a new era, not just for the Patriots, but for the Pats Interference Podcast, brought to you now by Prize Picks, the largest daily fantasy sports platform in America. I'm making player picks, watching the Celtics, points, rebounds, and I get to test my skills like you can on Prize Picks this season because it's the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. And then here's the best part, quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types, which all make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app, plus a review policy, which means you get your money back in case of injury, the only DFS platform to offer an insurance policy. Again, Prize Picks has been a ton of fun with the Celtics. You can also go with the Bruins, any number of different sports, games, players, plays, and options. So right now, go to prizepicks.com/CLNS and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com/CLNS and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, so talent obviously is the number one driver of winning in the NFL, right? But other things contribute. You talk about player usage, right? The coaching side, energy in the locker room, leadership, work ethic, all those different things. We don't know what the talent level is going to be like because we're still in free agency. The draft is yet to come. Front office might even make a couple of trades. Setting that aside, though, what do you think the 2024 Patriots need to learn and take from last year to fix that will help you maximize whatever that talent is next season?
I think I like when you brought up OTAs. I think OTAs is going to be important for us. And we know we got a new coach, so I think we're starting earlier, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, so like those little things, you know, people being present, us building that camaraderie off the field. So, like you talk about Tyquan and Pop, Zappy being here. I love that those guys came out here. You know, that's just a little piece of our puzzle, but we're getting closer. You know, I think us just hanging out, man, and being brothers off the field. You know, the cliche answers, bro, it's really that, you know, having handshakes, all these things that are going to make us play for each other. Because talent, you know, it can only go so far. It is a talent league. But if you got people that are closer to each other that are play, that will play for each other and play with a purpose, I think that's what we need. I think that's what we were missing last year. It was more guys just coming out there for themselves. And I think it's going to be a different organization. And so Mayo, you know, he has that younger attitude and that friendship kind of attitude to him. So just being close as brothers, hanging out and doing those little things that, you know, some teams might not do that'll make the difference in a few of these games.
Right. Now, one of the guys who's not going to be with you building those bonds because he just got traded was Mac. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what you thought when it happened. Did you know it was going to happen? And have you spoken with him recently sometime around the trade?
Yeah, so I definitely didn't know it was going to happen. But there's truth in every rumor, they say. So it was just, you know, how it was going. And I'm happy for him that, you know, he's going to get a fresh start, which is awesome for him. And that being back home, it might be a good environment for him, some place he's familiar with. And so it was funny because on the same day our transactions happened. And I texted him and was like, bro, I miss you, bro. I love you, bro. And hope you do well. And he just was like, thank you, bro. And he was just happy to be home. And then he texted me a few hours later and was just congratulating me. And, you know, we're really close. And I'm going to miss him for sure. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. So I think the Patriots did well by him, you know, with letting him go back home. I don't know if they talked about that or anything, but that was cool for him to go back to his hometown, maybe be around his family. After all he's been through, you know, that'll probably help him. And you never know, you know, injuries happen all the time. He could be the next man up and everything can change. So just, I'm going to stay in his ear, you know, and tell him things like that. You know, don't ever doubt it, bro. It's for a reason. And everything you've been through is for a reason. If you take it, you know, with the right perspective, you know, it can change around. So I think he's going to do well.
All right. His successor, the next guy, looks like, as far as we know, going to be a rookie. You don't have the third pick for no reason, right? Season was bad last year. They just traded their starting quarterback, looking at a rookie, or maybe Jacoby Brissett. What do you make of catching passes, perhaps from a guy who could go top three in the draft, or as someone who everyone I've talked to says the same things about Jacoby? They're like, I love him. He works incredibly hard. He's good in the locker room. Like, it's almost boring. These are good things you want to hear about a teammate. What do you make about catching passes from him and or a rookie?
So I'm just excited. And also, I don't want people to forget about Zappy. Zappy is a special guy to me. You know what I mean? I believe in him. I think he's a sleeper that people are really, you know, looking over. But I'm excited. You know, I'm really with whatever the team, you know, wants to do. Like, whoever comes in and Brissett, like, I'm going to get close to him. I want to get his number, talk to him, you know, vibe, be a good teammate to all my teammates. And whoever we pick, you know, if that's going to be the leader, then just having his back, you know what I mean? And getting close with him too and treating everybody equally, man. It's awesome that, you know, we have this opportunity as an organization. It can be make or break. So hopefully, you know, we get the right guy with the tangibles. It's an exciting time. Everybody loves the draft. Even the players, we want to see. As y'all seen, I got a YouTube video where, you know, we watched the draft at Max house, but hopefully I might do something else like that and just get the guys together because we care. You know, we want the organization to pick the right guy. You know, the players care, and I know they know that. So I believe in Elliott, man, you know, and Gerard. I believe they know what they're doing. I love what Elliott's done so far, and he's going to do well in the draft too.
All right, let's talk about Elliott. We don't know him particularly well. I will, spoiler alert, have a story on his full background, where he's come up, the way he thinks, right, Everything coming out next month. Until then, what can you tell us about the new de facto GM?
He's awesome. So I had a conversation with him a couple of times before, you know, negotiating, just hanging out, you know, as friends, really more than anything. And he's someone that I never... When he wasn't the GM yet, I would always see him in office. I didn't know who he was. I'm like, bro, who is this guy? And he was always walking around with his head held high, though, in New England, in the building. And I look at people's demeanor. I look how they walk, how they talk, how confident they are, just everyone. And he was somebody that was just, I could tell he carried weight around the building. He had a say-so. I didn't know exactly in what, but every day I was just like, I'm about to start talking to this guy. I'm about to start saying what's up to him. And eventually every day last year, I would just always walk by him and be like, what's up? And then I had to like figure out his name and stuff. And then I learned who he was. Yeah. And then our relationship just started to grow at that point. And it just came full circle, you know, how he became, you know, one of the leaders. And we had a good relationship. So anybody out there, any player, any young player, if you see somebody in the building that, you know, may be important, say hi to him, you know, get to know him, you know, build a relationship. Because now Elliot, you know, he believes in me. And it's awesome for me and him, because now negotiating is easier because we're open. I'm not holding grudges or anything. You know, there's no ice there. The ice is broken because I introduced myself to him way before negotiations happened, and it turned out well. So he's a good guy, but I think it went further for me because the relationship, and I'm just blessed to say that. And so like, that'd be my advice to anyone. But me and Elliot, man, his mindset is awesome. The way he's going to go about things is awesome. The opportunities he's given the players is awesome, and how he thinks. So just getting to know him more now, you know, now that we negotiated and even talked more than we ever have, I feel like I know him more. So I'm excited to even help. I'm trying to, you know, be GM assistant, bro. Whoever y'all want me to go, try to recruit.
I like it. The lesson here for the kids listening is butter up your boss, so when you need to ask for a raise, you can get it. That's right. That's a long con by you.
Exactly.
You mentioned his mindset, though. That's interesting. What do you know about what his plan is for this team and how he's going to build? Like, he's told the media, but I'd imagine his conversations with players are a bit different.
Yeah, so he's just, you know, treating everybody fairly, giving everybody opportunity, you know, bringing guys in, not just, you know, because you don't drop a pass, you don't get an opportunity next week. I think he's going to, you know, help Gerard understand, you know, they have their own meetings, but I think they're going to have people, you know, get the opportunities they deserve. Not having to prove it every single day, every single week, but going with the, you know, we are going to struggle. Everybody's up and down. One week you might have a great week, one week you might not, but I think he's going to believe in us in a different way than it has been in the past. So I'm excited for that. You know, young guys, some young guys struggle with, you know, if they don't have the same opportunities they did last week, they start thinking too much. Everybody don't have that, you know, gritty mindset to where, like, you know, just go get it. I'm blessed to kind of have it. You know, I've been through the ups and downs and been able to
prevail. Born blessed, I heard. Yeah.
Born blessed, baby. Hey, but, you know, some players don't have that. And I think Elliot is going to balance that out. You know, you have to earn what you get, but you, at the same time, we believe in you. You're on this team for a reason. And that's what I think the mindset is going to be. The motto is that we always believe in you, but you got to earn what you got, what you get. And I think it's going to help a lot of our players.
So I got one more, but I want to stop there real quick before we let you go. That sounds like Pop Douglas, who you're spending a lot of time with there. I mean, we all saw him fumble week two. He doesn't go back into that game against Miami. You guys go to 0-2. Maybe his return doesn't change the outcome, but has a lesser role in week three against the Jets. You win. Is that an example of what you're talking about here?
Bro, that is a great example. That is a prime example. Because, that, you know, that's just the nature of the game. It's inevitable. I fumbled in the Buffalo game at a crucial time, as I remember. And, you know, I had the ball high and tight, trying to do all the technique, and I still fumbled. So, like you're talking about with Pop, it's just inevitable. He's trying to be an explosive player like he is, be himself. But then when you don't put us back in the game, or, you know, I got back in the game, which was a blessing, but, you know, but that kills the confidence, what you're saying. It's a great example. And so I think that's going to be the difference. It's like, no, bro, you just made a mistake that, you know, that can happen to anyone. And that mindset is just going to help a player take off. So Pop still did great, but Pop has that a good mindset. But if you get a player that might not have such a good mindset and, a strong, you know, mental, it can affect him. So I think that's where Elliot, you know, when we talked, he kind of made me understand that it's not going to be like that. It's going to be, you know, you're going to get another opportunity. You can't just do it five times in a row, but, you know, right, one right. time we, yeah, learn from your mistakes and, you know, we'll still let you be great.
Yeah. Growth mindset, a little bit more patient, understanding. Or his phrase, I don't know if you caught this quote at the combine, was less hard ass type of vibe. Did you hear him say that about the change?
I did it. Well, that's awesome, though.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think the Patriots thought it was that awesome, because we in the media have a tendency to really throw everything in your face, and this is something they didn't want their nose rubbed in. But he was being honest, and I could see the smile on your face where you don't mind it at all, because it sounds true.
Exactly. And, it, you know, it's just making it – don't make it harder than what it is. Like, football's hard enough. So if you can make players get it, have it a little bit easier, not easy, but to where we can work together, then I think, you know, the success that breeds success.
All right, here's the last one, because you're turning 29 this summer, and it made me think about three summers ago when you and I meet for the first time. This is coming out of COVID. You had just signed then your first three-year deal with the Patriots. We're at some golf course in Plymouth. I'm talking to your brother. I'm talking to your agent, some other people around this Big Brother, Big Sisters event, right? And this is how long ago that feels. A, of course, we're just talking about vaccines. B, Cam Newton was like trying to get you into wine. You guys were vibing, building a relationship. I think your brother Andrew was already into wine. He was sold. And you were unmarried. You had one fewer kid. Things have changed so much for you the last 3 years. So when you think about the end of this contract, or even just the next 3 years, what is Kendrick Bourne going from 29 to 31 want most as someone who, again, was so different, I think, knowing you then and knowing you now in terms of your values and what matters most to you? What do you want out of your next 3 years in New England?
That is a great question. So obviously they've helped me grow mentally, what you just said. I've grown in that first 3 years, like rapidly, and just in my personal life, football player. And now I want to be a captain. That is my biggest goal this year. I want to be a leader. You know, having the young guys out here has shown me that I am impactful. You know, the energy I carry is very impactful. So my biggest goal is being a captain, being out there front line, you know what I mean? And just doing what the team needs. Like, I didn't really have that in 2021, what I had in 2020. The ups and downs was for me to be my best in 2023. So now that I've learned that, and even coming off ACL, the mental strength that I'm building with, you know, working on my knee and these different things, I believe that I'm going to carry a different weight this year, and I'm going to be an important player. And I think you know, Elliott and Gerard, and they understand that. And that was a big, that was my value. That was, it wasn't so much physical. It was the how much I work, you know, the work you put in is, it doesn't go unnoticed. So this year, these next 3 years, man, I want to win a Super Bowl. That is the biggest goal, of course. But, you know, that takes a team thing. So me pulling my weight at a, you know, another level, just being a leader, being more vocal. I do a good job leading by example, but being more vocal, telling guys, you know, just keeping it real. Like, bro, we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard. And so this next 3 years, Super Bowl is in there, captain, comeback player of the year, you know, different things personally. But ultimately, just being the best teammate, man, I could be, just working and helping others. And Morrow is just, you know, trying to help players off the field too. You know, being that example on the field, doing right with money. You know, those things help you be a better football player. When you have your finances right off the field, you don't stress so much about just playing for money. You do it for more the love of the game. And those little things to teach Pop, Tyquan, Zappy, and those things when they're out here, just building those relationships, man. So I'm excited, man, to see. Because that 3 years went by fast, so I know it's going to go by fast again. And just taking advantage of the time.
Yeah. Kendrick, I got to be honest. I wish you would aim higher. I feel like you can do more than Super Bowl champion, comeback player of the year, captain all at once, add another ring, get another contract. You are a man not shy, short on dreams. That's great stuff. And look, you know, you put it together in 2023. I think a lot of people go, oh, contract year. Of course. Now he puts it together. You had a lot going on in your personal life. And I don't say that because, you know, you've come on the podcast. I say it because I know you better than a lot of other guys in the locker room. And I think Vanessa deserves a shout out. Your new physical therapist, Alex, living with you day to day just to hang out with you and treat your knee. That's a big commitment. That shows you what you value because, look, just like any of us, look down our bank statements. You're putting your money and your time into what you prize most right now for you. That's your health. That's your body. That's your career. And, you know, everything else we just talked about.
Man, bro, for sure. Shout out Vanessa, baby. Shout out to my guy, Alex, for sure, bro. All these people. I just had actually a good dinner. You know, celebration dinner. They surprised me. I was very surprised, but I had all the people that, you know, have helped me, Henry, my agent, and it was heartwarming, man. And it shows me that I'm taking the correct steps. You know, it's big. It's big. And I, you know, people talk about the money. You know, everybody wants $100 million, but you know, $5 million is a blessing, bro. And if you look at it the right way, and have the right perspective, you can do it again and again. But it's all about what you do off the field, Dak. You know, can make it fruitful for a lifetime.
Right. All right. I appreciate you. We will let you go. I'm just going to assume my invite to that party is lost in the mail. It's not a big deal. But thank you for coming on, my guy. And we will chat soon. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Andrew.
All right, our friend segment continues with Jordan Boss out of Dorchester. Thank you very much, Jordan, for donating, asking a question, and generally keeping our viewership up. I know you've been listening from the get-go. Pats Interference, how are you, pal?
I'm doing good. Happy to be on the show. It feels weird not listening to you while walking the dog, but no, I'm happy to be on and happy for what you're doing with the Boston Children's Hospital and for Doug and his family. So happy to be on, but also happy to donate.
Awesome. All right. Well, first we have to talk about the dog. What kind is it? What's its name? How long have you had it?
Yeah, Golden Retriever named Captain. He's 5 years old. He's going to be the happiest, most energetic dog that you're going to run into if you're roaming the streets of Dorchester or Southie or wherever you're going to be. So yeah, he has his own fan club, I feel like, but no, he's the best.
Beautiful. All right. So if you are in Dorchester or Southie, please say hello to Captain. I had even money that dog's name was Brady, just based on your background for the folks who are not on YouTube. We have a Brady jersey and Gronk framed behind Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, Brady's just too easy. I almost went Jules, but I figured, you know, boy, Jules might not work. Maybe the next dog.
Yeah. Do you share that with a partner or anything? The dog?
Nope. It's all mine. Single dog dad life over here.
Nice. Single dog dad life. Love it. All right, let's get to your question here. Big offseason, you know, right now as we're recording this, it's mid to late in free agency. A lot of the big names are off the board. So you're looking ahead of the draft. And you ask, quote, the Patriots' three biggest needs are still QB1, wide receiver one, and left tackle. Which do you address in the first two rounds of the draft, and which do you address via trade or free agency? So before I give an answer, what's yours?
I think getting your left tackle is going to be much easier, and you're kind of kicking that future can down the road. So give me Tyron Smith. I know, you know, we might not win the Super Bowl next year, which he might want, but if you can get him, just back up the Brinks truck, get him for a 1 or 2 year deal, play left tackle for your next franchise quarterback, which I think you take in the draft. And that receiver class is loaded. So I'd rather take a Ladd McConkey at 34 than overpay for Ridley or give up a second round pick for T. Higgins and then pay him. So give me the left tackle in free agency, meaning specifically Tyron Smith. I don't want Chucks as my, you know, write him in left tackle day one. If Tyron Smith gets hurt, then have Chucks at left tackle, maybe. But I think you go left tackle in free agency, quarterback at 3, receiver at 34, or switch those. And you know, if you want to give me Marvin Harrison Jr. and Penix, I'm good with that. And then take your left tackle in the third round or the fourth round and develop him so when Tyron Smith gets hurt or retires or just goes and chases a Super Bowl ring, you have that third round pick tackle to fill in for next year or take a first round pick tackle in 2025.
I like the thought process. I'm inclined to agree with you. And honestly, I think I do because, you know, I talked about this with Giardi earlier in the week, the way the board falls right now with starters at left tackle that you could conceivably plug and play. And it's still mid-March. No one really knows anything. There are no guarantees, which I just love hearing about the top of the quarterback conversation. Oh, there's no guarantee that they'll work out number 3. That's the draft, man. Like there's no guarantees anywhere, but they need to take a quarterback. That's my guarantee. That's my number one guarantee. They're going to draft one. They need to. So you're going receiver or offensive tackle. And I think considering their picks in the board and what's available, you need a younger pipeline of receivers. And right now with Onwenu back, you call him Chucks, Chukwuma Okorafor. I'm probably going to go with Chucks. So that's his name. If he doesn't take any offense, that's much easier, much better. I'm inclined to agree with you. And it could be Tyron Smith. It could be Mekhi Becton. It could be Jonah Williams, who I've said before. I think they're out on. But there are more options there, even stopgap. And within the next 2 years, if they start, you get a developmental player who might be in that third round territory. So you go quarterback, receiver, offensive tackle. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I feel like that those three picks have to be your first three picks. I feel like last year, no offense to these players, Keon White, Marte Mapu, I'm sure they're going to be good players. I like what I saw from Keon White. But you went defense three rounds, the first three rounds. Like you cannot do that. And now you have to go those three picks. Luckily, you have the third pick, and then you have great depth at tackle and receiver in this draft, so it kind of works out pretty perfectly. But, yeah, I agree. And, you know, I'd rather get a stopgap tackle than a stopgap receiver. So you got to go those three, and you pray your line holds up for a rookie quarterback because I do not want the Mac Jones situation again. Like you mentioned with Giardi in the last podcast, both of them screwed up, but if you supported Mac, maybe you're not looking for a quarterback at number 3. Maybe you're not even drafting at 3 right now. So I think – you got to go those three, first three in the draft. But I think get the stopgap tackle and then 1-2 rounds, receiver quarterback or vice versa.
So you mentioned you love Ladd McConkey. Do you have any other draft crushes you want to share with us?
I'm definitely not a draft guy. I mean, I'm a huge Michigan fan. Go blue. I love Roman Wilson. I don't want to draft him in the second round. I don't think he's going to be that number. Because I feel like if you pick
him. He had a good senior bowl. Him and Ricky Pearsall are now like, quote unquote, shooting up the board as much as you can.
For me, Roman Wilson is definitely going to be that, like that, like a, almost like a Julian Edelman. And I'm not saying they're physically the same, but that you love this guy. He's going to fight for you. He's going to get that key third down, stuff like that. But I want a true number one receiver. I'm not sure. I mean, once again, I'm not a big draft guy. I don't know if Ladd McConkey's that guy, but go get that guy that's going to be your number one. Because if you take a guy in the first or second round, with the way our receiver room looks, he's going to be your first. He's going to be, you know, wide receiver number one. At least that's what you're signing him to be, because Bourne is a number two at best. Pop Douglas is a number two at best. Tyquan Thornton, I don't care if he got beefed up. I don't think he's making this roster. Rager, no plans for him. Juju, of course, hopefully they just get rid of him. So whoever you take at first or second round has to be your future number one. And I feel like Ladd McConkey, just looking at his combine and his size, I feel like that would be your number one receiver down the line.
Yeah, I think folks are now coming to grips with the fact he's actually an outside receiver, which is, you know, against the stereotype or the prototype where people see sub 6 foot, white guy, good quickness. No. Ladd McConkey can win on the outside. He's got good long speed. I'm not going to say he's a number one, but I think he comes with a higher floor. Not because, again, you've got like the safe non-athletic prospects. That's not Ladd McConkey. He's an athletic dude. He's an outside receiver. But I think as far as the ceiling, right, you've seen him against SEC competition. He's been a little bit banged up. He could start for you, but as far as the number one, that might be a bit more of a gamble. And so you find your risk tolerance, right, in the second to third round. These imperfect prospects were more talented. Maybe there's a drawback with work ethic or off field or ceiling. So for him, feels like a high floor, not low ceiling, but I think he's a good fit to develop with a young quarterback. And then maybe you find your number one receiver, be a trade, free agency in a couple of years with this quarterback and a rookie contract. This is awesome, man. Anything else you want to get off your chest, Patriots related, good, bad?
I like the signings that they've made so far, but like everyone's mentioned, you don't bring back the core of a 4-13 team and say, hey, we're good. So obviously the Packer way is building through the draft, and I agree with that. But also, let's look at it. Packers have only won one Super Bowl, so let's not do everything the Packers have done. I feel like I low-key hate the Packers just because of immaculate grid. It's impossible to whenever they come up, you're like, all right, there's no mixes there. But I like what they're doing. I love re-signing Jennings. I think him and Unwenu are the two best signings I like this year for this team. So I like what they're doing, but you got to go get a big fish, because if you're relying on filling edge, quarterback, receiver, and tackle all in this draft, you're just not going to do that. So let's get a tackle. Let's get an edge rusher. I really wanted Danielle Hunter a lot, but you know, what are you going to do? So I like what they're doing. I like the direction they're taking it in, but don't be afraid to still spend in free agency because you need to do that.
Yeah, it's an unusual class. A lot of the best receivers come off the top. You get the best tight end. They get one of the best offensive tackles, and people are still upset. Granted, because those guys were already on the team, needed to be re-signed, but it's just one of those years. Jordan, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for donating. And we might even have you back in a few weeks here if you keep it up.
Absolutely. Happy to be on, man. I appreciate it.